If we can read together from, I just want to start off with one verse, and then it's 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. It says, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." I'm going to read that again. "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." I'll come back to that scripture now. I want to remind us of a story. You probably, when you were a kid, you heard about this story about the Trojan horse. Have you heard of that story? Now, just refreshing us about this story. There was these two nations that were fighting against, the Greeks and the people of Troy. And the people of Troy had this very strong city with these high walls. And for 10 years, they were at it, fighting, trying. And the people of Greek tried to penetrate this city, but nothing worked. Until the point, actually, where they actually started feeling something needs to shift. Well, 10 years is a long time. But anyway, hopefully earlier would have come something. But the Greeks, they came up with a strategy that they believe is going to work. So one morning, the people of Troy wake up and they see the people of Greek are actually packing up camp and they're getting on their ships and they're leaving. And like, oh yeah. The people of Troy is like, we've got this. We actually finally, they realized that they cannot beat us. And so they went to the camps and look where the camps are. And they saw that all that they left was one big wooden horse on the beach. Nobody there, just this wooden horse. And one single soul that were left behind strategically. So this guy's job was to convince the people of Troy that this was a gift from the Greeks. And they've given up, and they are going now. And so in the camp of the Trojan people, they were like talking about, is this a gift, or is it something that we should be afraid of? So there were some of the priests said, don't trust the Greeks. Don't bring this thing in. And then this single soul that was left behind said, well, I mean, it's a gift. You can. I mean, they left. You saw the ships. They left. And so in probably their pride and their arrogance, thinking like for 10 years we stood strong, these guys could not get in. Said, we have won the battle. So they decided to bring this horse in. They actually had to take a part of the wall off to get this thing into the city. And they bring this horse into the city. And that night, the people of Troy were celebrating of their victory. They were celebrating about this victory that they had. And while they were celebrating and dancing and shouting and being merry, a little trapdoor opened up from the inside of that horse. And out came some Greek soldiers, some of the best soldiers that was left behind, the skillful guys. And they killed all the guards, opened up the gates. And then the ships that they thought came back in the cover of night. And that whole city, by the morning, was burning in flames. The city that stood strong for a decade fell in a single night. Not by the strength of arms, but by deception. By deception. Not by the strength of arms. Deceptive trickery is such a powerful tactic. But greater than that is truth that overcometh. And I want us this morning to look at this thing of deception, that thing that blurs our mirror. That thing that causes us not to see clear. And actually how do we overcome this thing? Because, I mean, I looked at you guys this morning. And I was looking at this church and say, wow, this is a beautiful church. It's a beautiful people. You guys are beautiful. They are solid people. men and women of God in this. I see worshipers. I see people loving Jesus with all their hearts. And we can have these strong walls. But like 2 Corinthians 11, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And so if you're into titles this morning, don't let the enemy in. Keep the horse outside. Don't bring him into the city. Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew 24, verse 4 to 5. It says, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." The word cunning in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, has the following definition. Just, it says, cunning is the act or the practice of misleading someone or keeping truth hidden with the intention of causing them to believe something that is false. I'm going to read that again. The act or the practice of misleading someone or keeping the truth hidden with the intention of causing them to believe something that is false. So Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church and says, guys, I'm afraid you're being led astray by the trickery, the cunningness of the serpent. Like he led Eve in the garden, how he deceived her. And he says, from a simplicity and a purity that is towards Christ. That's his goal. If he can get you off the simplicity and the purity of that is towards Christ, he has won. He has brought his big horse into your camp. Don't let the enemy in. Then he goes on in verse 4. It says, "For if someone comes to you and preach a Jesus other than the Jesus we have preached, or if you receive a different spirit from one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it so easily enough." He says this, you actually allow this in. You are putting up with this so easily. They're coming with you with a portraying of a Jesus that is different than the one that we have preached to you, that we as the apostles, that they're coming to you with a spirit that's influencing you, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And they're preaching a gospel that is not the gospel of suffering and of the Savior that died on a cross and that gave his life. It's a gospel that is like self-help. It's a different gospel. They're coming to you and you believing it and you allowing it. You opening up the gates and you letting it in. We so easily do that. Where did it start? In Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty. That word is also cunning. It's more cunning. That is also translated more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" This is what he is saying to Eve. So firstly, he comes and he says, did God actually say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Firstly, casting doubt on what God has really said. He's casting, did he really say? Up until that point, she was quite content with what God has said. Until he came and cast a shadow about what God really said. Twisting the truth. He said, you shall not eat from no tree in the garden. That's what he's saying. But let's see what God actually told them in Genesis 2, verse 16. Now, you need to understand here, Eve wasn't there yet. She only got created after this message was communicated. So it's a very typical man thing. How was your day? Good. I can imagine that Adam didn't do a real great job of really kind of telling what God really said. So there could be space in there for a miscommunication. But it happened. The miscommunication, if you read what God said and what she got sort of it. But there was space for deception to come in. And what did God really say? And the Lord God commanded the man. He didn't say, he gave it as a command, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. What did the devil say? You shall not eat from no tree. God said, you may surely eat. It's not, I'm not putting a limit on you. I'm giving you freedom. You can go and eat. But there's this one tree in the middle of the garden that you should not eat of. So you see, he's twisting, casting doubt on God, and he's twisting the truth that is being communicated. And then Eve answers the serpent, and she says, we may eat of the fruit, chapter 3, verse 2, of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So she's doing fairly a good job, but still, there was God commanded in a sense, like, you may eat of every tree. It's like, it's the heart of a father. I want to give you freedom to take hold of this. And then, but the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. Then he brings in the lie. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Who else thought that way? Him. He wanted to be like God. He's bringing his gospel, his message into, and he's kind of twisting what God really said. You shall not die. Casting doubt. And then your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Oh, that sounds nice. God is keeping something very good from me. And then the very next verse goes, verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw, now suddenly she's seeing, that the tree was good for food. It wasn't that bad. And that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her. He was standing with her. He heard the message. He was standing with her, and he ate. How do we keep this door closed? And we don't want the enemy in. Well, there's three things. You need to test it. You need to trust it. If after you've tested, can you trust it? If you can't trust it, then you toss it. Okay. Test it. Trust it. Or toss it. It's very easy. I'm bringing a very simple message today. So we need to test whether it's true. We live in a time where we get many messages from God. God is speaking to us subjectively. We hear His voice, and that's amazing. It's amazing to be able to hear His voice for ourselves. But it's a subjective impression. We need to test what we are hearing, whether it is really God speaking. because there could be a spirit that is influencing, which is not the Holy Spirit. So you need to test. We're getting prophecies that you need to test. You're listening to teachings on the internet that you need to test whether this is what is this true to the message that Jesus would want us to hear. And if you don't know what is true, you will fall for everything. It's very hard to guard what do I need to stay away from. But if you know what is true, then you can put the counterfeit next to what is true and you will know what is true. And this whole thing of money, money that is counterfeit is, if you touch the real thing and you touch counterfeit, you will know that it's not true. True money, it's very evident if you know how it looks like. All right. Pilate was in this conversation with Jesus just before Jesus got crucified. And he said this thing, I'm not going to give everything just for time's sake. But it says, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Ah, thank you, Pilate. That is an amazing question. I love that question. Let's answer that question right now. But before I answer, I want to show you a video. Probably if you're part of 6060 or Checkers, you have received this video recently. So just look at the screen.
Hey Juliet, these days it's tough to tell what's true. Like this video, real or not? Same with eating healthier, there's so much noise out there. I'm here to help you find the truth. This is Simple Truth from Checkers. See this green circle here? That is a no junk promise. And figuring out whether I actually made this video just for you, that's hard. But choosing better doesn't have to be. So that, Juliet, is the simple truth.
So this message was sent to Juliet. I need to speak with Jamie Oliver. Eh? Like, why? Where did he get my wife's number? Huh? Yeah. In the world of AI, anything is possible. Jamie Oliver did not send my wife a message. It was created by AI. But the purpose of that video is, we all know it is not true. But they wanted to contrast it with what is true. Every product that has the green sign of simple truth on it, you can know that you can buy that because that is true. Now, I'm not promoting their brand right now, but I thought it was very clever. If we can know the simple truth, we'll be able to discern what is not real. What is truth? John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the truth. What is truth? Jesus is truth. What is truth? John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. What is truth? The Holy Spirit is truth. 1 John 5, verse 6 says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. John 16, verse 13 to 14, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So what is truth? Simple truth. Jesus is truth. God's word is truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. when you receive a message from God, whether it's a personal impression or a prophetic word, or you're sitting and listening to a message, and these three things does not line up, then probably what you are listening to is not true. If it doesn't have the green stamp of truth on it, it's probably not true. Like a Jamie Oliver video. And while you are easily putting up with it, you're allowing the gates open for that horse to come in and to destroy your city. So ask yourself three questions when you receive something from the Lord. Is it true to Jesus? Is it true to Jesus? Because Jesus is truth. Does it line up with the Jesus revealed in the Bible? Let's make that practical. Does it resemble humility? Does it resemble obedience? It's like one of the number one open doors for deception is pride. That is the very thing that allows deception to come in. You think I'm okay. And that's the very door where the enemy will come in. So the message that you, does it resembles the humility of Jesus that is not grasping to be like God, but to humble myself before the Lord, take the position which Jesus has taken? Does it resemble? Does it resemble the obedience of Jesus, the character, the nature? Is it true to Jesus? If it's not, it is not Him. I want to be as bold to say that. Is it submissive? If it's arrogant, if it's rebellious, if it's not submissive, that is probably not from God. Is it true? The second one, to the Bible. The first one, is it true to Jesus? The second one, remember, we're testing now. Testing it? All right. If it's true to the Bible, it would not go outside the bounds of Scripture. So whatever you're receiving or listening to, if it goes outside of the bounds of Scripture, it is probably not true. Because as Derek has so well shared with us, God and Jesus and His Word is one. You cannot separate Jesus and His Word. So if whatever message you are easily putting up with goes outside of the bounds of Scripture, it's probably not true. It's impossible to study everything that is false, but you can study what is real. Look for the simple truth marker. I want to say to you, read your Bible and read it from cover to cover. Read it chapter for chapter. Read it verse for verse. Read, get the Word in you. Stop being lazy. Stop seeking for somebody to read the Bible for you. Read it yourself. Read it, meditate upon it, think upon it, read it, read it, read it, read it. And if you read it, you will know what the Bible say. You will know what the Bible say. But I want to add to that, don't just know what the Bible say, know what it means, what it's saying. Because you can take one scripture and say, this is what the Bible is saying, but you're quoting it out of context and it's not true. It is not true. So know in context what you know the Bible is saying. And so we need to equip ourselves, get skilled to rightly divide the scriptures that we can, when we read the Bible, we don't go on some flaky mission because somebody has read a scripture and we build our whole life on it because we don't understand the context, the culture, the history, or the background where this verse is placed in, the people that it was written to. Bible Hub is such an amazing tool. If you don't have research, you can go to Bible Hub and it can help you to study the scriptures and to make it real for yourself. I want to call you to a higher place. Don't sit and live at the mindset that I must just be fed. You can read the Bible for yourself and you can know for yourself what is true and what does it mean. Um, Acts 17, it says the following. It says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into Jewish synagogue. And now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, it seems like they were kind of wanted to kill them and reasoning against them. And then they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Firstly, they received it eagerly, but they tested what they received. Not in an arrogant, like, critical way. Because if it's not true to Jesus, which is, if you're arrogant, you're not true to Jesus. So if you come in a posture of humility and you look at Scripture and you weigh these things, you're growing up to be mature, to walk in the ways of God. And then, I need to move on. The last one, does it have the witness of the Holy Spirit? Is it true to Jesus? Is it true to the Bible? Does it have the witness of the Holy Spirit? The scary thing is, like, and this is how we, not scary thing, but we can so easily think we feel something God is speaking, but and it feels right to us. But when you share that with somebody else, they were like, something about that's off. The witness, the yes in the spirit is not there. So the moment when you share that and there's not a witness, I will wait. I will don't move. I will not go where I'm feeling because there needs to be a yes in the spirit. There needs to be a witness of what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. This congregation is not led by motives. I'm called the lead elder, but this congregation is led by a team of elders. I lead that team, but we lead together. I don't get my own ideas and do my own thing. We lead together. There needs to be a witness of what the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us. I can come with an idea, but we need to come together and find what is the witness of the Holy Spirit amongst us. This team is part of a bigger team. So even if we go off a tangent, there's a bigger team in Josh Chen that we are part of, that we can find the witness of the Spirit. This bigger team of Josh Chen is part of a 412 apostolic network of partnership of churches where we can still is what's the witness of the Holy Spirit. How do I bring this to you? You're not part of an eldership team, but you're a saint in this congregation. You have people that you know that love Jesus, that are true. When you receive a message, when you listen to things, is it true? Is there a witness that this is of the Holy Spirit? When you test it, if all these things, three things lines up, is it true to Jesus? Is it true to Scripture? Is there a witness of the Holy Spirit? Then there might be space still, but there's a green simple truth. And you can move on still in humility, trusting for God to come and show you with that. There's a scripture I need to finish. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. This scripture comes out of a piece of a scripture where they were trying to set doctrine, and there were people that are teaching that the Gentiles that are getting saved, they need to be circumcised, and they need to kind of, there's things that they want to put on the Gentiles. And so Paul goes to Jerusalem, they meet with the, and so as they were meeting, this was what they got to. For it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. There was a witness that this, what they were going, is of God. And then they send messengers to that place to say, this is what we feel, what God is saying. It is a witness. There's a togetherness. There's a unity. And where the witness of the Spirit is, there will be a yes. If you don't have that yes, wait. Don't do. Don't open up the gates for the Trojan horse to come in. All right, so if these things line up, trust it. if it aligns with Christ and his word, if it has the witness of the Holy Spirit, and it's true to Jesus, trust it. If it contradicts or confuses, let it go. Toss it. Simple. Matthew 4 verse 8 to 10, Jesus just went into the desert. He was tempted by the enemy. The serpent came. And he was very cunning. Like he even quoted Jesus, isn't it written? So he actually used his own thing. And he came. And I love this last answer that Jesus gave to him in verse 8. It says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. For it is written, toss it. Be gone. He tossed him. Okay. And don't open the door for the Trojan horse of trickery in your life. Every message, test it. If it's true, trust it. If it doesn't, if it confuses, let it go. So I'm going to close now. So I want to ask you, I asked the Lord, how should we respond to this? And I think the response to this, I think there will be a prayer that I will pray for us, that the Lord will help us to not be led astray from our pure, simple devotion, that we will not allow anything into our midst which is not from the Lord, that we will test, that we will look for the simple truth on the things that we allow in. But I also want to ask you, if you, while you were sitting to me, or sitting here, listening to me, realized that there's an area in my life that I have not lined these things up, I'm actually making decisions not on what is true. I want to challenge you. I want you to go to the Lord and find his heart. Because if it's of him, it will be amazing. It will, the life will be in it. If it's not, the city was burning. That was the result. That's how serious this is. We want what is true. So, I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to do just a call after that, and then I'm going to ask for some of us to respond in a sense that if you have not give your life to Jesus, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you. So there will be a time where I'm going to ask you to lift your hands, and I want you to respond to that, if that is you. And you will know that it's you. I don't have to convince you with eloquent words. You will know if Jesus is knocking on your door this morning. So, but can we all stand? I want to pray for us. Is it okay if I pray for us that the Lord will come and help us to stay to what is true, stay to what is real, not let Jamie Oliver send us some crazy AI message and deceive us from the simple truth and sincerity to the purity of the gospel? And if I pray this, and this is your prayer, I want you to pray in your heart and say, yes, Lord, amen. Guard my heart. If my mirror is dirty and blurred, I pray that you will come and clean it. This is what I'm going to pray. So I'm saying to you beforehand what I'm going to pray so that you can agree. Because there's a power in the word when you say amen. You say, yes, Lord, this, come do this in my life. So I'm not leading you in deception here. I'm telling you what I'm going to pray so that you can agree with faith and trust the Lord for that. So, Father, I trust you right now that if there's any open door that we have opened in any way, God, to allow in the enemy in our lives, we pray in the name of Jesus that that door will be closed today in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that the truth will overcome the trickery and the cunningness of deception of the enemy, and truth will come in. The truth. Things that is true to Jesus, the things that is true to your scripture, Lord, that we don't go, that we are not a people that goes outside the bounds of scripture, and that there will be a witness of the Spirit amongst us, Lord, the yes of the Holy Spirit amongst us, Lord. And I pray that every false spirit will be silenced in the name of Jesus, and the true spirit of the Holy Spirit will be, there will be a yes in our midst. So Holy Spirit, we trust you right now. Get hold of us. And where there are areas in our life where we need to stop and test things, God, I pray that we will test it. And if we trust it, then it's okay. But if it brings confusion and it's contradicting to the truth, I pray, God, that you will help us to toss it and get rid of it. In Jesus' mighty name, I trust you. I trust you. By your Spirit, come and set us free. Get this thing out of our midst in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for freedom from that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.